Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5. Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. Text 12. Sa Yadanuvrata Pumsam Asho would hear Vividyate Anya Esha Satanya Ham Iti Veda Gatasati. Sayadanuvrata pumsam
Sayadanuvrata pumsam
Ashubhudhir
vibhidyate
Anya esha tatanyoham Iti beda gatasati Sayadanuvrata. That Supreme Personality of Godhead.
That Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yada.
Yada.
When.
When.
Anuvrata.
Anuvrata.
Favorable or pleased.
Favorable or pleased.
Pumsam.
Pumsam.
Of the conditioned soul.
Of the conditioned soul.
Ashubhudhi.
Ashubhudhi.
The animalistic conception of life.
The animalistic conception of life.
I am the Supreme.
I am the Supreme.
And everyone is God.
And everyone is God.
Vibhidyate.
Vibhidyate.
Is destroyed.
Is destroyed.
Anya.
Anya.
Another.
Another.
Esha.
Esha.
This.
This.
Kata.
Kata.
As well as.
As well as.
Anya.
Anya.
Another.
Another.
Aha.
Aha.
I.
I.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus.
Thus.
Veda.
Veda.
Distinction.
Distinction.
Gata.
Gata.
Having.
Having.
Asati.
Asati.
Which is disastrous.
Which is disastrous.
Translation. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with the living entity because of his devotional service, one becomes a pundit and does not make distinctions between enemies, friends, and himself. Intelligently, he then thinks, every one of us is an eternal servant of God, and therefore we are not different from one another. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When Prahlad Maharaj's teachers and demoniac father asked him how his intelligence had been polluted, Prahlad Maharaj said, as far as I am concerned, my intelligence has not been polluted. Rather, by the grace of my spiritual master and by the grace of my Lord Krishna, I have now learned that no one is my enemy and no one is my friend. We are all actually eternal servants of Krishna. But under the influence of the external energy, we think that we are separately situated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead as friends and enemies of one another. This mistaken idea has now been corrected. And therefore, unlike ordinary human beings, I no longer think that I am God and that others are my friends and enemies. Now I'm rightly thinking that everyone is an eternal servant of God and that our duty is to serve the Supreme Master, for then we shall stand on the platform of oneness as servants. Unquote. Demons think of everyone as a friend or enemy. But Vaishnavas say that since everyone is a servant of the Lord, everyone is on the same platform. Therefore, a Vaishnava treats other living entities neither as friends nor as enemies, but instead tries to spread Krishna consciousness, teaching everyone that we are all one as servants of the Supreme Lord, but are uselessly wasting our valuable time by creating nations, communities, and other groups of friends and enemies. Everyone should come to the platform of Krishna consciousness and thus feel oneness as a servant of the Lord. Although there are 8,400,000 species of life, a Vaishnava feels this oneness. The Ishapanishad advises, Ekatvam Anupasyata. A devotee should see the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be situated in everyone's heart, and should also see every living entity as an eternal servant of the Lord. This vision is called Ekatvam, oneness. Although there is a relationship of master and servant, both master and servant are one because of their spiritual identity. This is also Ekatvam. Thus, the conception of Ekatvam for the Vaishnava is different from that of the Mayavadi. Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj how he had become antagonistic to his family. When a family member is killed by an enemy, all the members of the family will naturally be inimical to the murderer. But Hiranyakashipu saw that Prahlad had become friendly with the murderer. Therefore he asked, "Who has created this kind of intelligence in you? Have you developed this consciousness by yourself? Since you're a small boy, someone must have induced you to think this way." Prahlad Maharaj wanted to reply that an attitude favorable toward Vishnu can develop only when the Lord is favorable. Sa yadanu vrata. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the friend of everyone. Suridam sarvabhutanam gyatva mam shantim richati. The Lord is never an enemy to any of the millions of living entities, but is always a friend to everyone. This is true understanding. If one thinks that the Lord is an enemy, his intelligence is pashu buddhi, the intelligence of an animal. He falsely thinks, "I am different from my enemy, and my enemy is different from me. The enemy has done this, and therefore my duty is to kill him." This misconception is described in this verse as Beda Gita Sati. The actual fact is that everyone is a servant of the Lord, as confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivera Swarupaya Krishnera Nitya Das. As servants of the Lord, we are one, and there can be no questions of enmity or friendship. If one actually understands that every one of us is a servant of the Lord, where is the question of enemy or friend? Everyone should be friendly for the service of the Lord. Everyone should praise another's service to the Lord and not be proud of his own service. This is the way of Vaishnava thinking, Vaikuntha thinking. There may be rivalries and apparent competition between servants in performing service, but in the Vaikuntha planets, the service of another servant is appreciated, not condemned. This is Vaikuntha competition. There is no question of enmity between servants. Everyone should be allowed to render service to the Lord to the best of his ability, and everyone should appreciate the service of others. Such are the activities of Vaikuntha. Since everyone is a servant, everyone is on the same platform and is allowed to serve the Lord according to his ability. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita chapter 15, verse 15, Sarvasya chaham riddhi sannivishto mata smritya jnanam apuranam cha. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart, giving dictation according to the attitude of the servant. However, the Lord gives different dictation to the non-devotees and devotees. The non-devotees challenge the authority of the Supreme Lord. And therefore the Lord dictates in such a way that the non-devotees forget the Lord's service, life after life, and are punished by the laws of nature. For when a devotee very sincerely wants to render service to the Lord dictates in a different way. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse 10, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam didami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Everyone is actually a servant, not an enemy or friend. And everyone is working under different directions from the Lord, who directs each living entity according to his mentality. Sayadanu vratapum sam pashu buddhir vibhijyate anya esha titanyoham iti beda gitasati. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with the living entity because of his devotional service, one becomes a pundit and does not make distinctions between enemies, friends, and himself. Intelligently, he then thinks, every one of us is an eternal servant of God, and therefore we are not different from one another. Om Jnanatam Randasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapatantikam Vanchakalpa Charubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasti Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Sri Prahlad Maharaj is continuing here. Very wonderful set of instructions for us as aspiring devotees for trying to get out of the grips of the material energy, which is very, very difficult to become free from. Daivi Yesha, Gunamai, Mama Maya Duratya, Mama Eviye Prapajyante, Mayam Itam, Taranti Te. Lord Krishna confirms this in Bhagavad Gita, that this divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. This material nature is very difficult to overcome. We, as neophyte devotees, we may not understand that so clearly. Therefore, it is one of the characteristics of the neophyte devotees to sometimes become a little puffed up, or even to always be a little puffed up, taking oneself more seriously than one is really due to be taken. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura, he calls that utsaha mai, a type of utsaha, enthusiasm, which is based on maya, illusion. But one is thinking, oh yes, I'm very good, I will show how I'm very good. I will serve in such ways. Like this. Something like this. Neophyte devotee can get very easily carried away. But actually the fact is, material energy, material nature, is very difficult to overcome. In the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the description of Markandeya Rishi. And he was a little puzzled. One day he was thinking to himself, what is this material energy really? What is it like? Is it really? He had heard, of course, many things, being a sage and being well acquainted with the scriptures, but he was wondering, what is it really, this material nature? Is it really that bad? What is it really? So he was thinking, concerned like that. Suddenly, he found himself in a great ocean, just out of nowhere. He was in a great ocean, and he was being smashed, and coming up to the surface, and being smashed again, and being attacked, and most incredible experience. This went on for millions of years. He didn't die, but he was simply being tormented and tormented and tormented for millions of years in the most drastic and spectacular ways. Just devastated from one second to another for millions of years. Suddenly he got washed up on an island, suddenly after some millions of years. And then Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared and said, you know, that was not a very intelligent desire you had, but now you've seen. So Markandeya Rishi, from that point, he was convinced. Yes, so this material nature is something very big, and every inch of it is very difficult. Every inch, even in all the fine details, so very difficult. We should not underestimate that. And here, Sri Prahlad Maharaj, in this series of verses, and there's another verse also, which we can read tomorrow, is focusing on this very prominent aspect, prominent feature of material life, and of material consciousness in general. And that is, that we are prone to think that this person is my friend, so therefore there's some warmth between us in certain respects, but this other person is my enemy, and therefore there's negativity in different ways. And practically everyone is being seen like that. Either my friend, or my enemy, or just worthy of being neglected, that's all, if they are of neither positive or negative sort of input in my life, then they're useless, and I just don't care for them. This is a very prominent part of material life. So we talked about this a little bit yesterday, how the conditioned soul is thinking, as Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Ishvaroham Hambogi Siddoham Balavan Sukhi. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect. I'm very powerful. And as a result of these different qualifications of mine, then I'm very happy. Srila Prabhupada would give the example. In fact, if I remember correctly, he himself had been admitted into hospital one time, and in the next bed was someone who'd been in some very severe motoring accident. Their whole body was in plaster with arms and legs up at different angles. And then the relatives of that person came in and asked, how are you? Rather silly question under the circumstances. And he said, all right, or fine, or something. So, just see, Siddoham, Balavan, Sukhi, I'm such a wonderful person, Siddoham, I'm so wonderful, and so, I have so much potency, that I'm always happy, even in this situation, I'm fine, thank you. So just see the consciousness of the conditioned soul. Anyway, the thing is that the conditioned soul is thinking like that.
I'm so qualified and so wonderful in so many ways. And my program in life is how to gratify my senses. That is all, really. How to gratify my senses. In that same 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna makes this point that the demons, they think that the goal of life is just to gratify the senses. That's all. Until the end. And whatever the price may be, that is all right. Either to myself or in terms of other people suffering even. But if it leads to my enjoyment, then that is not only all right, but is actually good. That is the way it should be. So the conditioned soul is thinking like that. Of course, we might say that there are some conditioned souls who are interested in things other than their personal sense gratification. Some of them, we might say, are interested in their family's sense gratification. They would like to see their children or various other relatives nicely situated and doing well in their materialistic terms. Or even in some cases, they would like to see their particular nation do well, or even their football team do well, or their race, or their sex, or whatever it may be. Their species,
their religion,
or anything. Yes. So we might say that this person is not so selfish like this. This person is not simply desiring their own sense gratification. They have some other desires. Even some people, they give their lives for their countries or for some particular cause. But Srila Prabhupada explained that this is actually the same phenomenon. Srila Prabhupada called this extended selfishness. That I am identifying with you. You have become an extension of me. So therefore, if my child, as an extension of me, does very well, I become happy. If my child, as an extension of me, does badly, I become sad. If my football team does very well, because I identify, my heart is there, I am there, they are an extension of me. Therefore, when my football team does very well, then I become very jolly and like this. And if my football team is beaten, then I may become very severely affected and start, even I may beat up the people who are following the other football team, not even their members of the other football team, but they're just following the other football team or something like that, because they're extensions of me. I have, in a certain sense, merged with some other entity. Or my nation. They say, there's common sort of mode of expression, if one country is fighting in a war against another country, or even we have mentioned sporting events, playing sport against another country, that South Africa is playing India. I was in India, and South Africa was playing India. And you could see all the people glued to the television. Yes. So is it that South Africa, that piece of land extending from Cape Point to Bait Bridge, and also from east to west, has somehow or other picked itself up and is now playing the subcontinent of India? Well, it's not. But we identify that South Africa is playing India. Now, when I flew actually from Singapore to South Africa a few days ago, there were some New Zealanders. Actually, believe it or not, they were the New Zealand wool sharing team. And they had their black, the New Zealanders, they wear black, the sportsmen, with a silver fern, and it said that. So there were South Africans on the plane, and they were making fun of the New Zealanders. Because of the Springboks, you know, that whole thing. So I was there, and I happen to have a hat which I wear under certain circumstances, which says New Zealand on it. Because I had to get it when I was leaving New Zealand one time at the airport in order to be able to enter the next country. So I also had this New Zealand thing on. So they're also looking at me. So then I pulled out my South African passport. And my New Zealand passport. They became bewildered. How could this be? This is like schizophrenia. Anyway. But the thing is, people, in terms of sense gratification, people will merge, actually, on an emotional level, on the level of the heart. People merge with other entities and experience sense gratification through those other entities of one type or another, at least on an emotional or psychological level. This is a fact. So it is not, then, if someone is thinking that such and such a person is not simply interested in his own sense gratification, because I see he's also interested in some other people's sense gratification. So he is not just selfish like that. So that is not the case. Actually, it is a fact. In this material world, everyone is basically only interested in their own sense gratification. And they may, generally, other than in some very rare cases, generally, if they are apparently interested in someone else's situation or concerned, it is simply in terms of how it will reflect on them and the effect it will have on their own sense gratification. Of course, there may be, you know, certain special cases, like Srila Prabhupada said that in this material world, the closest thing to pure love is the love of a mother for her child. And sometimes, anyway, Srila Prabhupada said that. However, on the other hand, we know that on this planet, the main cause of death is abortion. Beyond heart disease, beyond cancer, or war, or motor accidents or old age, but actually the greatest, that thing which kills the most people every year is abortion. And in other words, the mother is requesting that to be done. So therefore, even though, as Srila Prabhupada said, that may be there may be, that may not always be so selfish, but actually it is not that it is particularly nice, really. And generally on the whole, people are very, very fixed in this, my sense gratification. So as we mentioned yesterday, on that basis, those people who facilitate my sense gratification, they become my friends. Those people who are opposed to my sense gratification, my competitors in business or in sport or in whatever, socially, they become my enemies. And those people who have nothing to... So here, Srila Prabhupada is talking about the devotees, the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas had no friends or enemies, really. The Vaishnavas had no friends or enemies. Of course, on a certain level, the Vaishnavas, their friends are the other Vaishnavas. But on a very advanced level, Srila Prabhupada is talking about the very advanced devotees here. The very advanced devotees, they see everyone. Everyone is dear to them. They feel warmth and affection to everyone. And as we will see in this description of this pastime of the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadeva, that Prahlad Maharaj, at the end, he demonstrated that very vividly, in that when Lord Nrisimhadeva asked him to ask for a benediction, the only thing he felt that he could ask for was that his father could be delivered from the suffering which he was due in hell for his offences against Prahlad himself, and of course other things, but particularly for that. So Prahlad Maharaj, he had every reason to see Hiranyakashipu as his enemy, but actually he saw him as his friend. Or, not friend in these terms we've been describing, but he felt affection for him. Because he's very advanced. Prahlad Maharaj, very, very advanced devotee of the Lord. So, of course, for ourselves, we're not on that level, so we shouldn't artificially try to fabricate some sort of sentiment like that for those who are, particularly those who are really demons. Srila Prabhupada, or our BBT commentators actually, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, they talk about how the Uttama Adhikari is actually seeing in this way like Prahlad Maharaj. But even my worst enemy, who is trying repeatedly to kill me and torment me, but they see such a person in a very affectionate way. So that is the Uttama Adhikari, and our commentators make the point, referring to Jiva Goswami's comments on that, those verses, that sometimes some neophyte may come, and either through just misunderstanding what is Krishna consciousness, the state of consciousness, which is Krishna consciousness, or possibly through wanting to cheat people by apparently being more advanced than he or she may actually be. So such a neophyte devotee may try to imitate these symptoms. And even some big demon may come and start blaspheming very severely, but that neophyte devotee may say, oh, very nice, yes, you are very nice, or something like that. But for devotees like ourselves, then, it's described, in fact, there also in the 11th canto, that the devotees, the aspiring devotees, who are trying to move from being simply in material life to that level of first-class devotional service, somewhere there in between. So, for them, they should see four types of people. They see the Lord, at least in the sense that they accept the Lord, and they surrender to the Lord. So they see the Lord, and they serve the Lord. Then they see the devotees, and they befriend the devotees. Then they see the innocent non-devotees who are just bewildered and not so deeply implicated in the lower modes of material nature. So they see those innocent people and they compassionately try to help them to become Krishna conscious. But then they see the demons, the envious, the real blasphemers, people of that nature who are fixed in that sort of consciousness, and they avoid them and ignore them. So this is appropriate. This is appropriate for the Madhyamadikas. And we are, Srila Prabhupada encouraged, that we should all try to become Madhyamadikas. Srila Prabhupada encouraged that we should not remain Kanishkadikas. Should not remain. At the beginning, one can only be Kanishta Adhikari. There's practically no possibility that one will be anything else at the beginning of Krishna consciousness. But that Kanishta Adhikari, that means so many hangovers are there from my previous material existence, all the impressions built up through my many experiences and many lifetimes actually in gross material existence. And what does that include in terms of these verses we are reading? That includes my friend, my enemy, calculating in these terms. Even as Ramanuj Acharya Prabhu kindly pointed out, it's even there in religion, that I am in a certain religion, so I have merged with that. And the fact, or if my religion is the best, then I feel very good. If my religion gets put down, I feel very bad. In other words, I have merged with it, at least partly. So, therefore, the other religions, they become my enemies. And those who are in my religion, they become my friends. There was one interesting joke, some of you may have heard that joke, that there was one Christian crossing a bridge, there was another Christian on the edge of the bridge with like a rope with a big rock tied on it, something like that. He was about to jump off, and that would have been that. And so the first man ran up and said, "Oh, don't do that. Don't you know Jesus loves you? And it's actually very nice. So don't you like that. Just take shelter of Christ and you'll be okay." And that suicidal man said, "Well, actually, I am a Christian." So then the first man was trying to encourage. And he said, "Oh, what church are you from?" And he said, oh, I forget, but such and such church. The first man said, "Oh, so am I." The first man said, sort of like the traditional or reformed version. The suicidal man said, "Reformed version." First man said, "Oh, very good. Wonderful. So am I. So you shouldn't jump. We'll get together. It'll be great." But then he said, "Oh, the Reformation of 1874? Or 1906, the suicidal man said, "Oh, 1874. The first man said, "Oh, well, maybe you should just jump there." So it's just friends and enemies. So Kanishta means one aspect, very major aspect. Kanishta means a person who, even though they are a devotee, but their position in devotional service is in so many ways just a reflection of their conditioning. Of course, they're devotees, so it's not like they're totally lost. But in so many ways, even though they are devotees, their actual position and their actual consciousness is simply reflecting those attitudes and feelings and so on and so forth, values, acquired, conditioned by many lifetimes in this material world. So, that of course, that's a very dangerous situation. That's a very dangerous situation. Here Prahlad is talking about this friends and enemies disease. So, if we as devotees are starting to, or are in the practice of identifying the other devotees in terms of friends and enemies. And particularly, sometimes we see different little configurations, different little groups and subgroups form and sort of gang up or like that on some other devotee. All these things happen from time to time. And those people are drawn together and can be identified as that group of devotees who don't like devotee X, enemy. So if we remain on that level, friends and enemies level, as devotees, then what does that mean? That means Vaishnav Aparad. And what does Vaishnav Aparad mean? It means, shortly, everything will deteriorate. And even everything can become lost. And even one can be very swept away, deeply back into Maya. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur in Chaitanya Bhagavat, talking about Jagai and Madai, he makes the point that they were extremely sinful. In fact, they were so sinful that amongst the conditioned souls in the material world, they were very, very prominent in terms of being particularly sinful. But he makes the point that still, fortunately, they had not committed Vaishnava Aparad. Therefore, they were able to still live. They were quite affluent, and, you know, their lives were going on. They had not become worms and stool or something like that. Yeah. But then, of course, they did commit Vaishnava Aparad, and the Vaishnava they chose to commit their Aparad to happened to be Lord Nityananda, accompanied by Haridas Thakur. So, anyway, fortunately they were saved. But otherwise, it would have been a very severe situation, to say the least. So, we're very fortunate that we have the association of the devotees. Even though we may still, to one degree or another, still maintain certain aspects of our kanishta or materialistic conditioning sometimes. But we should be very mindful and very clear within our minds that this question of how can I avoid committing Vaishnava Aparad, this is very, very important. Yes. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada makes the point in the purport that everyone, talking about the devotees, everyone should be friendly for the service of the Lord. Everyone should praise another's service to the Lord and not be proud of his own service. That is the way of Vaishnava thinking, of Vaikuntha thinking. Even Prabhupada says there may be rivalries, apparent competitions, and so on. But even in those cases, the spirit is not different. It's simply how glorious these other devotees' service is. Not different. Not different. So let's try and be very careful like this. Everyone should be allowed to render service to the Lord to the best of his ability, and everyone should appreciate the service of others. So let us try to cultivate that consciousness. And if we see that this friends and enemies consciousness, which of course we are all affected by unavoidably through so many lifetimes in this material world, but if we see this coming, somehow trying to influence us, then let's be very careful to avoid becoming overwhelmed by that. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions?
Over in Chekhov Center, there's a big display of some Muslim society collecting donations for the flood victims in Mozambique. So, on one hand, it's not that they really identify with those people, but I think there is some compassion there, and they feel they'll please God if they help those people.
There may be a little compassion.
And also, they also believe that, you know, that God wants us to help unfortunate people,
yes,
like the poor.
Also, those who are a little bit in the mode of goodness, they get sense gratification from doing such activities. They actually experience pleasure from it.
Mm. And they had a sign that says, "Give a can," and they had cans of fish up there. Cans of fish and beans. So it's helping the flood victims, but it's not helping the fish.
That's true.
The fish are getting exploited.
Right. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.